This morning, we're going to continue our discussion about great relationships. If you've got your Bibles, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It is going to be where our reading comes from this morning. It's going to be a rather lengthy reading. But as I've studied this and prepared this sermon series, and one of the things that I wanted to say before we get into the points and the meat of the sermon is that, you know, there's kind of a sermon before the sermon, and it's going to be short, but the whole point of this is having godly relationships and rock solid relationships, having kingdom relationships is so important in our lives. It's the cornerstone of the success or failure of the lives that we live. The relationships that we have in this life determine everything about this life. Relationships will either make us feel great, or they will make us feel terrible. Relationships that we have will make us miserable or marvelous. The relationships that we have will either help us deal with the depression that we may or may not struggle with, or it'll make it worse. The relationships are everything. They determine our success or our failure. The people that we choose to be around determine who we are. The Bible bears this out in many places. There's nothing more important to the success or failure of your life than relationships. J.D. Rockefeller was quoted by saying that he would pay anything for the ability to have great relationships. It is the most important thing in our life. It determines who we are. The Bible in 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that having bad relationships will corrupt even good character. Now, that's an absolute truth. I know that it's an absolute truth for two reasons. For one is that my mother always told me that. My mom always quoted that verse. You know, Shane, that who you hang around with determines who you are. And she always said, bad company corrupts good character. You know, bad company makes you a bad person. It can take the good in you and tear it down. So I know it's true because my mother always told me that. And I also know it's true because I have proved it over and over in my life. I have. I've proved it by surrounding myself with people that I shouldn't have. And I know that it has been the detriment, Lily. I don't know what it is. As soon as I get up, I've been around it. I've proved it because I've surrounded myself with people who were not following God, who were not kingdom people, and it made me a bad person then. And I know it because at times I have been that bad person that I've found myself dragging others down. So relationships are the key to this life. God is a God of relationships. So it brings us to how? How do we have great relationships then? How do we have rock solid relationships? You guys know that I'm all about what does this look like on a Tuesday? It's great to say, here's the principle, have great relationship. Here's the truth, you know, be good people. Okay, well, how? How do I be good people? How do I have great relationships? What does it look like to be that person? Thank you, sweetheart, my lovely assistant. You know, Jake, why I didn't ask you to get my water? Because I couldn't say you were my lovely assistant. So how? How do we do that? How do we be good people? How do we have great relationships? Last week, we started 1 Corinthians 13. God said, if you want to have great relationships, if you want to live the life that I've called you to live, if you want to be happy, then be a loving person. And he gives us an example. He uses a whole chapter in his book, in his word, in the story of our lives, a whole chapter about all about love, about what it looks like to be a loving person. So this morning we're going to continue in the how by looking at the power of patience. If we want to be loving people, if we want to have great relationships, if we want to be the kind of people that can determine and develop and maintain relationships that are kingdom oriented and rock solid, then there is a power of patience. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, here's our lengthy reading this morning. Bear with me as I read. Love is patient. Love is patient. The end. This morning, there's our reading right there. If we want to have loving relationships, rock solid relationships, if we want to be loving people, then we have to choose to be patient. Patient people are loving people. When I am patient with my kids, I am a loving dad. When I am impatient with them, I am not so loving at that. When I'm patient with my wife, I'm a loving husband. When I'm impatient, I'm not a loving husband. That's what that means. When it says, when he starts out, when God's defining what love is, when he defines what love looks like, when he tells us, this is the road, this is the map, these are the steps to be a loving person, there's no accident that he starts with patience. Because before you ever get into a relationship with anybody, let alone maintain one, you know you have to start with being a patient person. Loving people are patient people. So the first question we have to ask ourselves is why? Why is patience so vital to relationships? You know, because before we get into the how-to, we have to understand the why-to. We have to understand that there's a cause and effect. There are things that happen if we are not. Now, we're going to get to the equation because I know that we are, you know, we're all about the equations, the 2 plus 2 equals 4, and how do I get, you know, that we want to know the answer, we want to know how to get the answer. But it's very important to know the why. Why is it vital to relationships? I remember in school, and I might have told you guys this, when I was in high school and college, I took calculus. I don't know why. I don't ever use it. It's not like I need it in preaching. But I took calculus. I did decent. I got decent grades. But I never understood what I was doing. I got the right answer, but I didn't know why I got that answer. You know, Denny, you can probably help me out with that sometime about what, you know, I would get, you know, this equals that. Okay, now what's that good for? Why am I figuring this out? Now, you know, algebra, geometry, those sort of things in math, I know what these, you know, the why you're figuring it out. But I never understood what it was all about. So I didn't pursue it at all. Well, see, unless we know the why am I doing this? We won't pursue it. Why is it so vital? The first reason it's so vital, because everyone is different. Understand that if we want to have relationships with people, if we want to have a rock solid relationships with our wives, with our children, with our friends, with our coworkers, and remember that our relationships are going somewhere because Paul tells Timothy that God wants all men everywhere to come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants all men to come to repentance and to be saved through faith. Unless we can have relationships with people, the glory of God does not spread throughout about the earth. So there's the number one why. We need to have relationships with people so that we can lead them to the Lord, plain and simple. There is no such thing as anonymous evangelism. There's not. So if we want to lead people to God, we have to have relationships with them, and we have to understand that everyone is different. 1 Corinthians 12 and 6 says that God works through everyone in different ways. God works through everyone in different ways. God works in everyone in different ways. God changes people in different ways. Some people need to be changed in one way and other people need to be changed in another. The way that God's working on my heart is so much different than the way God's working on Roy's heart. The way God's working on Roy is different than the way he's working on Mark. And the passions and all of those things are different. God works in us and through us in different ways. And so it's important to choose patience because we all have a different shape. We all have a shape that's all our own. The way that we can tell each other apart is because we look specific to us. We look unique. The first thing that we have in this shape is our spiritual gifts. God has given, the Bible says that He has given some to be preachers and teachers and apostles, and He's given some to be, some to be generous, and He's blessed some in this way and some in other ways. God, in Acts chapter 17, it said He chose for us to be in certain places at certain times so we can use the different spiritual gifts that we have. God gives us different ways to serve in His kingdom, different talents. Some of us in this room are naturally athletic. Some people in this room, naturally athletic. They're going to meet an entirely different group of people in their life because of their athleticism. Some people in this room are just naturally smart. And they're going to meet a whole different group of people because they're naturally academic. Some people in this room, such as myself, are naturally just gifted at being average. Just right down the middle of the road. You know what we're going to do? We're going to meet most of the people. And God uses the gifts, the talents, all of those things in the kingdom. In the kingdom, not just in society, not just in our social lives, but in the kingdom. He gifts us in different ways so that we can relate to different people. He makes some to be preachers. And I relate to people, you know, some of us are, you know, some have different gifts. And God gifts us that way spiritually for a reason. Next, our shape is all about heart, all about what we love, all about what we're passionate about. Not only are we gifted in a certain way, but we love in a certain way. We're passionate about certain things. Some people are passionate about teaching school, and they do that with all of their heart, and God's going to use them in that capacity. Some people think, I couldn't spend 10 minutes in a room full of kids. I'd kill them all, and then I'd be in jail. And you could have a prison ministry at that point. But we have passions. We have God. We love in a direction that not everybody loves in that direction. We all have different abilities. Not only do we have spiritual gifts, but we have specific abilities within those gifts. We have specific abilities that God has given us to relate to people, to talk to people, to be kingdom oriented. We have different personalities. You know, I have a very specific personality. One of the things that I've learned in my life is that based on my personality, not a whole lot of middle ground people in my life. People either really, really like me, or people either really, really don't. That's just I'm working on the really, really don't. I'm working on fixing those things that really, really don't. But I don't have a whole lot. That's my a lot of people have a different personality. And God uses that to relate to people. I mean, I'm not going to reach every type of person. You know, there's a lot of people, I'm up here flailing and dancing around and spits flying. I'll scare some people half to death and they'll never want to talk to me about the Lord. But then there's some people who are reserved and calm, and they'll reach people that don't necessarily appreciate my personality. And then there's other people like me that are like, really? Okay. And we'll have this conversation at a yell with each other, and just, man, that was awesome. We have different personalities. You see, when I meet somebody who's not so much a talker, I have to be patient and appreciate the silence. Just be patient. And I learn things from those people in my life that God puts there that can, their personality can kind of absorb some of mine. And we have these relationships if we'll be patient with one another. But if we say, oh, I can't talk to that guy, he never says anything. Or I don't like, oh, that guy never shuts up. Then what do we have? We don't have anything. Well, that guy just, we all have a different shape. The last thing we have is different experiences. You know, I've talked about this plenty of times. What we have experienced makes us, to a large degree, who we are. What we have gone through in our lives, the things that we have seen, the reason, you know, there are certain people who are, I mean, a lot of these things are, you know, their heart, their personality, all these things are determined by their experience. I mean, there are men and women who will have tears streaming down their face, who their heart loves, their personalities are wrapped around whenever they hear the national anthem or observe patriotic events, because they've seen the battlefield, what it looks like. They've seen men and women scared and alone on the battlefield, knowing that they're fighting and dying for people who don't even know them, and they're going through this hell on earth for a greater good. And so when they hear the national anthem, it affects them differently than someone who's never experienced that. And so you know what we are? When by golly, you take your hat off, when you hear the national anthem, you pull your flag down when it's raining. You do, because there are people who've experienced things and they love in a direction and they've got all, and we're going to be patient with them. I'm patient with those people that have a whole different perspective than I do. Instead of thinking, in the world, that guy's problem. It's just a flag. It's just a hat. I mean, it's a whole different thing. So we have to understand the experiences that people have make them who they are. Why is patience so vital? Our differences create misunderstandings. Not only do we have a different shape, but our differences create so many misunderstandings that we have to choose at times to be patient. I got my notes all discombobulated here. Hold on. There it is. Okay. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:11, no one can really know what anyone else is thinking or what he's really like except the person himself. You see, the way that we think, the way that we feel, nobody can know that. You know, we can think we do, but when we're impatient with one another, when we assume so much, that's what tears down so many relationships. The first misunderstanding that we can have, the first assumption that we can have, one of the first things that can break down our patience and our ability to choose patience is thinking that all words mean the same thing to all people. Well, I just can't get through to that guy. I can't communicate with this person. You know, I said this and they did that. You know, have you ever thought that when I say something, you might hear something completely different than what I meant to say? And when you say something, I might hear something completely different than what you meant to say. All words don't mean the same thing to all people. We have to understand that there are reasons that we need to choose patience just because of the way that we talk. Another assumption that we have that tears down relationships is that there's only one way, one right way, one correct way to see things, one correct perspective. And that perspective is my perspective. There's only one right way to do things. You know, my way is the right way to see it. If that person would simply come around and understand that this really is the most important thing that we need to be doing, then everything would be fine. Another misunderstanding. I can figure out, I know why they did what they did. I know why they said what they said. I know the motives of that person. I know the reason behind what they did. We don't know that. There's no way that the Bible says you can't know the heart of another person. Only that person, only God can know that. When we see what someone does, and instead of thinking that I can evaluate, I can determine the motives, because isn't that what makes us mad? Isn't that what tears down relationships? Isn't that what severs relationships, is because of not necessarily what someone did to me, but the why they did it? Why they, you know, the reason behind that. So when we assume that we know, when we define that for other people, we create misunderstandings. Because my way is the only right way to see it. Because there's only one way to do. Because what I said means what I said, and they need to hear it that way. But when we understand that, when we don't make these assumptions, when we don't go into a relationship or a conversation or an interaction, we choose patience. We choose to be loving. That's why patience is so important. It's so vital. So that brings us to the how. How to be patient with people. How do we carry this out? We know why it's important. We know why patience is because of the misunderstandings, because of the differences that we have. We have to choose this. So how do we do it? The first thing, the most important, remember how patient God is with you. Remember how long-suffering. Remember how over and over and over and over and over again God is with you. I will tell you this. In parenting, whenever my kids do something that is contrary to the will of Shane, it's very easy for me to be impatient with them until I remember all of the things that I've done that are contrary to the will of God. All of the things that then I've done that are contrary to the will of my friends, the people that care about me, the people that are in this congregation. You know, I think about, you know, if I want Howard to be patient with me, then it's a lot easier for me to then transfer that to my kids. When we think about, you know, God has been patient with me, other people, you know, that are representing God in our lives, you realize the people we're in relationships with, they have the opportunity, the power to represent God to us. When they're displaying that, when I remember that, it really puts me in a whole different place, in a whole different perspective. You see, because I will never exceed or even match God's patience. So if I want to have a rock solid relationship, if I want to be patient, first thing I got to remember is God's been very patient with me. When I want to think about all of the, you know, when I want to get upset or frustrated with people that take advantage of me, take advantage of my Christianity and just make me have to forgive or make me have to be generous with them. You know, they're making bad choices with their money and they expect me to give them mine. And God says, you make bad choices with your holiness and you expect me to give you mine? Yeah, God, I do, I guess. So doesn't that help us to be patient, to understand God's patience? Not only do we remember God's patience with us, but we learn by listening. You know, one of the things that I've learned recently, of all places, on the golf course, is that one of the cornerstones of having great relationships, one of the cornerstones of having of being a godly person, is to seek to understand before we seek to be understood. Remember that? There was a prophet among us, Brother Dan Thomas. He says, Shane, remember this. I can't remember what I shot that day. It was horrible. But I remember Dan's counsel to me. Seek to understand. Seek to listen. Seek to hear before you seek to be heard. Before you try to understand, you know, because the more we listen, the more we listen to people, the more we can understand. The more we can understand where they're coming from, what their experiences are, what their shape is, what their words mean. The more we listen, the more we understand. The more we understand, the easier patience becomes. Oh, that's why. Oh, those were your... Okay, now I get it. Okay, so the more I listen, the more I understand. Now, where did that second page go? Hold on. Oh, there's a third page missing. All right. Next thing. Is that it? What happened to those? Do what? Patience. All right, be patient. Where's my order of worship? Give me this thing. Make allowances. Third thing, make allowances for each other. Not only do we learn by listening, but make allowance. Be patient with others. Ephesians 4 and 2, be patient with others, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. You know, we make, instead of making requirements for one another, instead of making a structure, and this, you need to fall within these guidelines and these parameters. My relationship is dependent upon you being this and doing this. Allow for those things. Allow for the faults and the experiences. Allow for the passions and all of the prejudices that we have. Allow for the fact that someone might not love in the same direction and might not be passionate about the same things. Make allowances for each other. And the last thing is treat others the way you want to be treated. Matthew 7 and 12 bears this out. He says, always put other people in the place that you want to be put. Always hold people in your heart the way that you want to be held in theirs. Treat people the way you want. That's how patience works. Because if I am, the first thing about being patient is remembering God's patience. The last thing about being patient is understanding, is focusing on what I am doing, not on what they are. Focusing on how I can treat them, not so hyper-focused on how they are treating me. I know I talk about my kids a lot, and that's sort of a commentary in our house. And, it's interesting to see, to analyze how a father treats a son and then how a son treats a brother. And, it's not easy being an older brother. It's not easy having a younger brother that's 5 years younger than you. It's not easy because they have different things that they like. You have different things that you like. They want to touch your stuff. You don't want them touching your stuff. But I'll tell you this. Younger brothers think older brothers hung the moon. They think older brothers are just heroic. And one of the things that I tell my oldest son in trying to teach him about kingdom relationships is referencing his younger brother. And I always tell him, I would like to ask, see if you remember. Treat him how? Do what? Say that a little louder. Treat Hyatt how you what? See, first of all, guys, I understand, and we all need to understand that I don't do it right. I really don't, and I remind my kids that because I want them to parent way better than I parent. I really do. And I hope we all do. And I tell Hayden, I said, you need to treat him in all things the way you wish I treated you. The way you, in all things, the way that when I deal with you and you wish I would forgive you sometimes, you wish that I would let certain things go, you wish I would let you drive the car. Now, you wish I would let, treat him that way. The way you wish you were treated. And that changes everything. Because then instead of saying, no, you can't touch that, saying, you know what, maybe you can. Instead of saying, oh, you're killing me, you're always, leave me alone, as a son, you always wish your dad had more time for you. You wish until you're face-to-face 24 hours a day, you wish they would do more things with you. So spend more time. The way that you wish people treated you is the way that you treat other people. It takes the focus off them, puts it back where it belongs, puts it back on us. And now, you know what that does? It puts us in control of the relationship instead of Satan. Who in here doesn't like to be in control? I mean, come on. We want to have kingdom relationships. It starts with patience. It starts with understanding why it's necessary. And it goes on with understanding how we pull that off. Pray on these things this week. This morning, if you need God's patience, if you want to rely on His patience this morning, if you want to accept His offer of patience, confess His name, confess Christ as your Savior, be baptized into His death, burial, and resurrection, have your sins forever removed, and experience the patience and long-suffering that comes with the mercy and compassion of Jesus Christ. This morning, you can start over a new life of experiencing that and then in turn offering that. Choose kingdom relationships this week. Choose to be loving and choose to be patient. As together we stand and as we sing.